Look in your Bible, Acts 17 and verse 22. The Bible says, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. Paul was at Mars Hill, the city of Athens. Athens, there in Greece, one of the great religious educational centers of the whole world at that time. Had more universities and colleges, and I guess they were supposed to be some of the smartest people in all the world. He said, here, for as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. They had so many gods, and they'd run out of ones to name them. They had different deities, and they named them all different names, Diane and what have you. But when they finally run out of names, they just wrote down there, they wanted to have their different type of religion, so they just wrote, unknown God, unknown God. Whom therefore you ignorantly worship him, declare I unto you. Paul said, you worship a God who is not a God. Amen. You worship a stone that cannot answer your prayers. Amen. And Paul said, here, God that made the world and all the things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, he dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Said, this God that I'm talking to you and preaching to you, he doesn't live in temples made with hands. But Paul did say in the book of Corinthians, he told the Corinthian church, many of those people had got saved, many of them believed, and he said, ye are the temple of God. God doesn't move in, lives in your heart. Neither is he worshipped with man's hands, as though he need anything. You don't need to bring God nothing. He doesn't need anything. Seeing he giveth to all life, and breath, and all things. He has made of one blood all nations. I don't care what your creed is, or your color is, God said he made you all of one blood. You cut your arm, it's going to run red. Amen? All right. All nations, one blood, for men to dwell on all the face of the earth. He hath determined the times before appointed, the bounds of their habitation. This is when we get into trouble, when we move men across their boundary and out of the habitation that God has prepared for them. That they should seek the Lord. Here's the thing here in verse 27. These people who didn't know God, didn't know anything about God, when Paul came to town, he didn't dwell on that very long. He got right to the message. I want to talk to you about the living God, the Lord. If happily they might feel after him, find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Every one of us. God is not far away. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, we are also his offspring, as by creation. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold, or silver, or stone, graven by art and man's devices. In the time of this ignorance, God winked at, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because he hath appointed a day, look at your Bible, please, in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, by that man whom he hath ordained, that man who the world stopped last night and said he was born. Amen. People who never mention his name put a 29-cent stamp on a letter and mailed that he was born in a manger, and those letters went all over the world in the last 24 hours. Isn't that something that God would do something like this? whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. He said he was this man whom they slew with wicked hands, but God ordained him and raised him from the dead. What a wonderful, wonderful Savior. You know, many times he used this word here twice in this verse of Scripture that I read to you this morning. He said that whom they ignorantly worship. They ignorantly worship. I've watched people worship a lot of different things in my lifetime. I've seen a guy down there in the prison. He had a little fat guy he was worshiping. Had a big navel about that big around. He was sitting there worshiping that big fat god that the worms had done his body up years ago. Amen. But the Bible said Jesus raised him from the dead. You see men sitting at the tomb of Muhammad, and Muhammad the worms done ate him too. That's what they say. I didn't say that. They say that. But I'll tell you about my Savior. Yeah. The Bible said whom the Lord has raised him from the dead. We don't only have a Lord who was born in a manger, but he died and he laid in that little cradle on that December night or whatever night it was. But he went from the cradle to the cross and to the cross to the conquering one, and now he's the captain of our salvation. I'm talking about him this morning. The whole world is ignorant of really who he is. They think he's some little baby in a manger. You know, God really played a trick on man. You know, man was looking, the Jews were looking for a mighty king. They were looking for somebody to get them out underneath the Roman Empire. Was to give them freedom and what have you. They were all slaves. They were all slaves. Every man in Israel was a slave, and they were sold like animals. But God, isn't that strange? God didn't send a mighty army. He sent a little baby. And they said, well, what is this? And he said, that's your Savior. And they said, we won't have it. We won't have it. And he grew up, and they said, he's not strong enough. Adolf Hitler said he was a weakling. Hitler's dead and in hell, and the worms done ate him. Amen. And Jesus sitting on the throne. Amen. Amen. Saving men who come to him. I'm just trying to tell you today that God played a trick on man, and a man was looking for a great emperor with a sword, and here come a man with a book. Amen. I thank God for that today. But men is ignorant. He's ignorant of the church and ignorant in the church. You find people who are members of the church, been saved 20 years, and you ask them about the Lord's coming or the Bible or anything about it, and they say, well, what difference does that make? You know, they're in church and totally ignorant of everything. One guy said the other day to his wife, he looked on my daughter, and her husband was sitting there talking to him, and well, he said, I went to Baylor University. My daddy was a Sunday school teacher in the First Baptist Church down here in a little town below Houston here, and said I said every day in the chapel program and for 1 hour and heard him preach, and he said, what did you learn? The guy stopped and thought. He said, nothing. Nothing. I mean, that's terrible, sending a guy to school 4 years, and he had 1 hour, they preached to him, and he never knew nothing about it. And his wife said, well, I never have been in a Baptist church like that. Would you take me down there Sunday? And she said, no, we're all tied up Sunday, you know that. I'm a Baptist, I'm all right. That's what I'm ignorant Baptist. That's what I'm ignorant, man. Headed to the judgment bar of God without a Savior. Here's a woman sitting here lost, pleading how to be saved, and he don't even know how to be saved. But hanging on to that, I'd swap that for a blind mule. Amen. I really would. Well, what would you want with a salvation that you done looked into for 10 or 15 years and come up with nothing? You say, well, Brother Wood, he's a Baptist. Well, so what? I can baptize you 47 times. You know every tadpole by his name. That's not going to help you get saved. Amen. Amen. But the people are ignorant in the church, out of the church. Amen. I had a fellow one time. I was in Merle Woods' house. I never will forget this. And this guy asked me, and his name was Jay. And he said to me, he said, Jack, he said, how many brothers did Jesus have? I said, man, I don't know. He had two or three brothers. He said, well, I know he had one named Monday.
And I looked at him, I thought he was telling me a joke. And he said he had one named Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. And I said, "Boy, did you fall off a load of pumpkins or something? What's the matter with you?" He'd been a Baptist all his life. And he's sitting there, he said, "Well, I know the devil was his brother." I said, "You be ignorant beyond your mind, boy." You said, "Brother, was he serious?" He was as serious as a heart attack. He was giving me all this Bible knowledge that he had learned. And I'm talking about ignorance of the things of God. And you know, that's prosperous. Reverends. Preachers. Don't even know whether they're saved or not. I'm not talking about anybody. I'm just talking about the Baptists. I don't know about the rest of them. Amen?
Amen.
They don't even know whether they're saved or not. Amen. And they don't know how to tell you how to be saved. And but people will sit in that church and let their children walk forward and be baptized by some moron like that. Don't even know how to go to heaven itself. Now, I'm telling you, weak upstairs. Your brain done took a vacation. I'm talking about pastors of the churches. I don't know how many pastors I saw saved, but it's been many ones. I don't know how many pastors like. I was at a funeral one time of an evangelist at Henderson, Texas, and Brother Roloff got up and preached and gave an invitation, and four pastors' wives got saved. And I looked around, I saw some others that need to be saved. We got out to the grave, they done dug a hole, and the two guys digging the grave, they got saved. And before we could get away from there, two of those preachers got saved. Just, hey, everybody needs to be saved. Everybody needs to be saved. People are ignorant of the fact that Jesus didn't come to set an example, though he was an example. Jesus come to die, that men might be saved by the grace of God. He didn't come to set up a little religious church here. He come to die for all mankind. And when he died, and you accept him as your savior, he don't come in to be your savior just where you miss hell. He's going to give you life that you can live now. And it's sweet right now and then. Well, man, if there wasn't no life in it, these 42 years I've been saved, I'd just turn around and went the other way. But I'll tell you what, I thought about it last night quite a bit. I'm really happy with what the Lord has done for me. I'll tell you what, last night it was so quiet, I was soaking up the silence. Well, I'll tell you one thing, I used to couldn't. I mean, Fast Domino had to sing Blueberry Hill or something. I couldn't. My wife said, "Look at that picture right there." I looked at this picture. She said, "You know where that picture was taken?" I said, "No." She said, "You was out there, you just got saved." Now I was weighed about 130 pounds. She said, "You just got saved." I had Marcia in my hand. So that's been years ago. And I had Marcia in my arms. And she said, "You sitting there listening to her and listening to a thing. And the preacher told you, said, hey, you shouldn't be listening to that." Amen. Amen. I guess I shouldn't have. But I'll tell you one thing. I wasn't listening to Ernest Tubb. Amen. 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 I was listening to facts. Amen. 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 Ignorance of the things of God. But when I got saved, I found out it wasn't some practices, it was life. It was a life. Man, who cares about all these practices? And how about all these things? People say, "You shouldn't do this, shouldn't do that, shouldn't." Well, maybe you shouldn't, but hey, my soul, man, you got to have something to live in your heart. If it's not alive and doing well, it won't be long, you'll be going back. You see, this ignorance of the things of God causes blindness to the heart. I was looking over here in the book of Ephesians. You got your Bible there. Turn there. Maybe you'd mark this in your Bible too. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18, the Bible says, having your understanding darkened. Look, that's number one. It says you got your understanding is darkened. Ignorance comes through darkness. Superstition. See, those people out there worshiping that stone, you say, well, they were uneducated. Listen, they were educated people. That has been tribes of people and nations of people who were highly educated, who worshiped heathen gods. Amen. They're having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. The life of God. They're totally alien from the life of God. The ignorance that is in them
because of the blindness of the heart. The blindness, listen at it, of the heart. I looked at that thing, the blindness of the heart. Preacher, what are they blind? To the things of God. The things of God. Hey, man, I didn't get up and say, well, man, it's Sunday morning, I got to go to church. Man, I'm telling you, when my feet hit the floor this morning about 7, I said, man, it's good to be alive and doing well. Amen. Amen. I went there, my wife brought me a cup of coffee. I'm telling you, so black and so strong, it floated the spoon. Amen. 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 I can't even drink coffee anywhere. I go in a cafe, so you want some coffee? I say, you don't have any. Amen. I know. Thank you. No. My neighbors, have you want to drink some coffee? I said, no, thank you. No. My wife has ruined me. She cooks that German coffee, and it just gets blacker and blacker and stronger and stronger. When you take a drink, you can taste it coming out your nose. Amen. I mean, it's strong, man. It's strong. But this ignorance of God causes blindness of the heart to the things of God. The Bible said in Micah 4:12, but they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand His counsel. When God begins to counsel us, and you know, I always thought God wanted to take something away from me. I didn't know God wanted to give me something. I didn't know God had something for me. I didn't know it was something eternal and forever and ever and ever. I just thought God wanted to take maybe some little pleasure I had away. God didn't want to take none away. I was ignorant of God. I had a superstition, but see, it causes blindness of the heart. What does that do, preacher? That puts things in darkness. Darkness. I'm going to tell you, this book said men love darkness rather than light because of deeds of evil. I can prove that. Now, you can drive down Washington Avenue. You drive down Washington Avenue, you come to a pool hall, it's got the windows painted black. Amen? Amen? If you come to the average church, it got spooks in the window. You see, I thought them were saints. A saint is somebody saved by the grace of God. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah, Brother Wood. Amen. Amen. I got a window there in Larry's house. It's about this big window. And it's got a lamp there. And then got a ship there. And you know, that's all right. That's all right. But really, that makes you feel holy. Come on. How's that lamp and that light going to make you feel holy? Amen. Gonna make you feel silly. That's what's the matter with you. Amen. Because it's blindness. Blindness to the heart in darkness. And then to the things of the Christian life. Things that we never experience, like the love of God. The love for a lost soul. The love to win people to Christ. And the love to go around the world and tell people how to be saved. People said, you're just wasting your life. Really? Really? I'll tell you what you do. You get out and visit for about 2 or 3 weeks. And visit people and find out people who wasted their lives. Go to the hospital, walk up and down the hospital. You'll find out people wasted their lives. And they'll tell you right quick. Amen? They'll tell you right quick. I've seen preachers with their legs cut off and their arms cut off. And man, they just sitting there looking at you and saying, man, ain't God been good. Man, ain't God been good. I mean, I've lived my life for the Lord. I'm ready to die, man. Hasn't the Lord been good?
Yeah.
I mean, I went into an old preacher friend of mine, been preaching 47 years right there in that church. And I went in and I said, oh, man, how are you feeling? He said, great. Great. He said, sit down. He said, my wife's going to bring us something. His wife been dead 5 years. He said, my wife's going to bring us something here in just a minute. Here come a maid in that minute. He said, thank you, Jewel. That's his wife's name. And she went away. And this old man, he walked out the door and finally his mind got a little bit clear. And he said, boy, ain't the Lord wonderful. He said, God's been so good to me. But then you go down to the rest hall. Somebody's sitting there. Some old hussy, been a hussy all her life. He's sitting there. Mad at the whole world. Mad at God. Mad at their children. Wonder why they don't come by and see me. You say, well, I wonder why I did. Amen. Do your head like this. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't sweeten up a little bit, ain't nobody going to come see you. Amen. Amen. I said it causes blindness to the heart. Ignorance is a terrible thing, but it causes us to unsubmitted souls to seek their own righteousness.
This Bible said here, they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. What is the right of God? It's not rules, it's not regulation, it's not some straightening up your life. It's being born again by the Spirit of God. And God's righteousness, listen, Christ is our righteousness. That's what the Bible says. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to His mercy hath He saved us. God saves us by His grace. Oh, many times people think they saved themselves. I had a pastor's wife tell me one time, said, "I'm so glad that I wasn't like you." I said, "Well, that's wonderful." She said, "I've always just been a wonderful person." And I thought, I said, "I've been here a week and she's not even wonderful now." You know, she's not a wonderful cook. She wasn't a wonderful mother. She wasn't a wonderful pastor's wife. She wasn't even a wonderful guest. I thought to myself, boy, this poor old dumb East Texas girl is ignorant. I mean, she is ignorant. I mean, you know, and she just kept telling me all week long. Well, about 2 years later, I left a little book there on the Alarm to the Unconverted, written in the 15th century. And that's pretty stout by Joseph Aileen. I left that book there, and I heard later that she got saved. Amen. Pastor's wife. Been a pastor like 20 years. Amen. Just as lost as a goose in a hailstorm. Amen. But God saved her. Saved her. But she was so glad that she wasn't like somebody else. There's another man in the Bible like that. He was going up there to pray, remember? And he said, "Oh man, I'm glad I'm not like this guy next to me." And the guy next to him said, "Lord, I'll take it. God, be merciful to a sinner." And the Lord said, "Yeah, I will." And the Bible said this old wicked boy went home, amen, delivered, justified. This other guy, he didn't get nothing. Amen. Causes that unsubmitted soul. You see, the fool was laying up there in his house. He said, "I'm going to build my barns bigger." See, fools don't even think about barns and plan on barns, but they dream about barns. You see, the rich man up there that drove by Lazarus every day, he never cared one thing about Lazarus until he died and was in hell. And he said, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus. He may dip the water on my tongue I'm tormented in these flames." I want you to notice here, riches for Lazarus' friends. And they both dreamed of it. Both these men dreamed. Their dream was, "What else am I going to get?" I tell you what you better get. You better get the Lord. Amen. Let's go a little bit step further, please. And some things that ignorance does, it causes us to do some foolish things. I want you to look in your Bible just a moment in the book of Jeremiah in chapter 4 and verse 22. In verse 22, I want you to look in your Bible, amen? And then that way you'll mark it and then you'll remember. In chapter 4 and verse 22 of this book, and here's what it says, amen. Here's what it says. "For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children." Now, in just pure English, that's stupid. Amen. They're sottish children. "They have no understanding. They are wise to do evil. But to do good, they have no knowledge." They just don't know how to do good. What are you saying? Well, it says they're wise to do evil. What they cause us to do foolish things. What is these foolish things? We're wise to do evil. But then the Bible said they have, look at it, they have no understanding. They have no understanding. Isn't that strange? I mean, they go to the moon, but they don't know how to get out of sin. They have no morals. I mean, there's people who have been to the moon. And I mean, they can go plumb through space and plumb over there and step out over there and walk around and spend, you know, maybe $10 billion to get there, pick up a sack of ashes and come back and tell you how smart they are. I mean, that's wonderful, isn't it? But they cannot deliver themselves from one bad moral habit. You know? Amen. The same guy that rolled that thing out, he was wearing a patch on his arm, trying to keep him from smoking. Amen. Amen. There was a guy on that thing that went out of space. He went to Alcohol Anonymous trying to stop drinking. I mean, he can go, "Why, man," you say, "boy, look how smart he is. If I'd ever went to town and spent $10 billion and come back home with a sack of rocks, Papa would call me a fool." Would you say amen this morning?
Amen.
Amen. I say, cause us to do foolish things. We have no understanding. We have no knowledge of God. You know, I had a good week this week. One lady whooped a guy and broke both his legs with one of them clubs. You know, that just done something for me. That really did. But they call the police in Detroit. Detroit's a funny city. I've been there a lot. And they say law enforcement, but there's not much law enforcement in Detroit. You believe me when I'm telling you this. And I'm glad I don't live in Detroit. But anyway, this guy, he run up on the curb, run over this lady, run over her son, knocked him out in the street. And so this guy took a baseball bat and softened his head up a little bit. And the police come down there and said, "We're not going to have an unlawful society." They had guns drawn and got out and had to get this criminal and take him away from these people. You know, I mean, that was a time to go get a cup of coffee. You know what that guy said? You know what John, do you know what he said? That policeman said, "We're not going to have an unlawful society." He said that standing on the street of Detroit. This guy's brain is gone if he's got one. "We're not going to have an unlawful..." Hey, listen. There ain't been nobody drove downtown Detroit all during Christmas. I mean, if the lights were out, they were gone, man. I mean, Houston is a little bit different in Detroit. Ain't nobody going to Detroit at night. Ain't nobody going to go downtown at night. Amen. Then policemen, those, they go up two and two. Cause us to do some foolish things. Isn't it wonderful to have a Savior this morning? Set aside a day and come and worship that He was born. I'm going to tell you one thing. One of these days, Mr. Brown, who used to be here, said, "We don't need law enforcement. We need to educate the people." I'm tired of being educated. I want you to know I'm tired of being educated. A little 13-year-old boy next over by me, right by my house, named Rodriguez, he landed in his bed. Somebody shot him through his eye with a pistol. And the police had been there, John, 50 times in 20 days to that house. The police had been there. And in other words, how much did the taxpayers pay for them policemen? And they have no authority. They have no authority to do nothing. But I'm telling you, we need to get back to some old-time law enforcement. You say, "We're not going." Well, I don't know. We're not going to have the admission. They're going to do away with all that admission. What do you call it?
Praise God.
Yeah, they're going to do away. Hey, yes. You say, "Brother Wood, they're going to spend $100 million. They decide not to spend it." Isn't that something? That's just one-tenth of $1 billion. Thank you. What does that got to do with this sermon? Nothing. Nothing whatsoever. But it is foolish, isn't it? It is foolish when you listen to it. It is foolish. But then he calls us to have a dull mind. I'm going to come to a close here in just a minute. It's according to how long your minutes are, but in just a minute. Chapter 5, verse 11. "Of whom we have many things to say and are hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing." Ignorance of the things of God will cause you to be dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. Listen to me, please. "Therefore, they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways." Over there in Job chapter 21, they said, "God, get away from us. Leave us alone." Then they're in trouble. "God, why wasn't you here?" Say something about God. God will be where He's asked to be. Say something about God. He don't go where He's not wanted. I said, He doesn't go where He's not wanted. Are you listening?
It's the dullness of the mind. See, we love deceit. Listen to me, please. We don't want the truth. The truth is, if you die without Christ, you're going to hell. My Lord is a loving God. My Savior is a loving Savior. Jesus loves sinners. He died for them. There is no doubt about that. If you got some little wrapped up mind in Jesus, a little old hippie coming down the road with a pair of Roman sandals on, he's busted dip and have a quarter of you out of your mind. Well, I'm going to tell you who he was. He was God manifested in the flesh. Justified in the spirit, seen of angels, priest of the Gentile, received back up on the glory. And today, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father on the throne, running the whole show. Yes, that's him. That's my son. We'll talk about him tonight at 6 o'clock. Yeah, we love deceit. But then we love trouble. We love trouble. And we do not desire peace. I remember before I was saved, I used to come home by. This eye was black. I got a bunch of bridges in my mouth. My teeth was knocked out. And I said, man, didn't we have a time last night? Yeah, we really did. Yeah, I got up one morning, I couldn't get up. And I said, what in the world's the matter with me? I looked, I had somebody else's coat. I said, wonder where that coat come from? I was trying to figure out, and I got to thinking. I said, man, didn't we have a time last night? Yeah. Then about that time, your wife hit you between the eyes with a skillet. Ain't we just having a time? Let me get on the telephone. And then we get on the telephone and tell everybody what we done last night. And all this time, you and her are cussing each other, and that means just trouble. And then you're running them kids out because he's got a slight headache, you know. Right. You understand what I'm talking about. Amen. Got a little slight headache. He done something like 27 aspirins. And you say, I'll tell you one thing, just don't ask me to go to church. I had no headache when I woke up this morning. I seen fine. I ain't had a headache in 40-something years. just get up and go in the house of God. Man, what a wonderful saving. I mean, when Jesus comes in and saves you and gives you compassion on the lost world and on your friends and your fellow man, you can pray for your loved ones. Man, what a savior. Let me give you this last thing. You know, I was reading to you over there in the book of Hebrews. And it's talked about there, about the judgment of God. And what did it say? That causes unpreparedness for the judgment of God. We're unprepared for the judgment of God. People are unprepared and said, don't preach to me. Hey, you need a preacher. And you need him bad. You need him bad. Amen? Romans 8:1-28 says, and God gave them up to a reprobate mind. I turned them over to a reprobate mind. Their minds become like reprobated silver. Their minds were corrupted. God just turned them over. God said, leave them alone. Isn't that strange? Judgment is to be ministered by preaching. Preaching has got a certain amount of judgment. It's just personal, practical stuff, and a preacher is supposed to do it. Now, if you've got a little preacher, and he's got a bunion on his tongue, he can't talk very loud, and he can't say anything, and he surely wouldn't offend anybody. That sucker's wicked. You hear me today? He is a wicked, ungodly man. The Bible calls him a hireling. One guy asked a fellow the other day out my end of town, he said, what have you got to say about him homosexual? He said, I don't say anything about it. Felt his hands like one. He was a reverend. He's a pastor of one of the largest churches here. He said, oh, I never said anything about that. That's very controversial. We'll tell you something. Your Lord was a controversial Savior. And they hung him to a tree and killed him because of his controversial teaching. They didn't have any room in the inn for him, and nobody wanted him in his house. Why? Because of his controversy. I didn't say you're supposed to be obnoxious. I didn't say you're supposed to be ugly. But you're supposed to preach the truth. You're supposed to preach the truth. And that preacher's supposed to be a preacher of truth, or either he's a hireling, and he's working for the pay, and whatever, he's going to get out of it, and he's not in it for God's sake. Amen, Brother Wood. Thank you, Brother Wood. You say, I don't believe that. You're ignorant.
And you're willfully ignorant now because I've told you. Amen? Yeah, you're willfully ignorant. Amen. Judgment is administered by preaching, and judgment is administered by the church. I've never went to an honest person and had to put a person out of this church since I've been here, and I have done it, but I've never, the 10 people didn't love me and appreciate me more than others did.
Sure.
I touched my own boy, my own daughter. What for, brother? With wicked living. Amen. You're not supposed to be a member of the church. And a wicked preacher ain't either. For put him out too. Amen. I said, the church is supposed to practice church discipline. Amen. He said, withdraw thyself from a brother. If it's commonly reported that there's fornication and what have you, any kind of sin like that, sir, just go talk to him, pray with him. But a church takes action. Nation sometimes judges. Amen. Sometimes the father in the home, he has to minister a little judgment. Is that correct?
Yes.
Does he have to? Everybody have to know who's in charge. Amen. The boss on the job. Hey, nowadays nobody knows who's in charge. In some houses. God have mercy. You know, kids nowadays, these guys playing football, basketball. I've always been a sports nut. Always did. I love sports. All kinds. Mama the peg, anything. It don't matter what you're playing. I just love sports. I refuse to watch it. Guy, he comes, you know, and they're told that he turns up 2 months late, you know, and they don't. But you know, you can't blame the guys. Because, you know, people have been slipping money to them under the table to play college football and college basketball, and professors are paying him, and then when he gets into pro football, the mob pays him, and the fighting game, a guy said, is the fighting game crooked? He said, are you out of your mind? He said, they'll have to screw them all in the ground. What does this got to do? I said, you're idiot. It caused unprofessional. But we don't want any judgment at home. Better not spank that child. Dr. Spock said you'd warp his mentality. But you know, he did ask y'all to forgive him. Let me tell you something. There's a God Almighty, and he's slow to judgment. But there's no such thing with God as no judgment. There's a slow judgment. I mean, God is slow, and the daddy ought to pray, and the daddy ought to think, and the daddy ought to remember. Amen. Sometimes a kid comes in and says, I'm not having these twos and threes or zeros in school. Better not be like my mama did. She kept all my report cards. I remember whooping my children for their, you know, didn't make good grades until they saw my grades. I never had one another since. Mama kept everyone, and Larry, one of them had a zero. Daddy said, what is that? I said, that's the best. He said, I believe you're lying. I said, no, sir, I'm not lying. I was just playing. I mean, that gave me a zero in one section. And when he got down there and said, conduct, he said, unsatisfactory. And Daddy asked me, what does that mean? I said, universal. that his report card was. And had all them bad grades. And Daddy said, you failed. I said, no, sir, I never failed. I never did fail. I asked the teacher, I said, you going to keep me in here next year? She said, are you crazy? No, you're not staying in here next year. No. But I tell you, through life, Papa worked on that a little bit. He had one of the big Ranger belts, you know? He worked on that a little bit. Them grades began to move up a little bit. They got a little better as I went along. Well, unprepared for the judgment. The Bible said, prepare to meet thy God. If you're saved, you're going to the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to be judged by the Lord Jesus Christ. Not by nobody else. He's got the whole book. He knows everything. And the Lord's going to say, you're unprepared. That don't mean you're going to hell. That means you're a saved person. You didn't do what you should have done.
There's another judgment bar called the Great White Throne Judgment. You get there unprepared, it's hell.
He said, I saw their faces fled away from him that's sitting on that throne. They just, their faces, they just fled. Hey, it's time to get away from it. See, they were cast into the lake of fire that burneth with fire and brimstone. I'm glad today I'm not going there. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I've made ready. I'm glad I've prepared for the day of judgment. But nowadays, kids are being trained that there's no such thing as judgment. The teacher can't whip them. The principal can't whip them. Mom and daddy ain't got enough to whip them. And I'm telling you, this thing went crazy on us in America. And I heard a policeman last night. He said, what we're going to do up in one of the northern cities, he said, we're going to have a teaching class. And what we need to do is do away with it. UCLA, give these men some authority and put them back on the streets and let them, let everybody know what a policeman really is. Amen. Say hallelujah. Because I'm going to tell you one time, you're going to find out that God policed the whole world and kept a record book of every violation of His law. You're going to find that out. You're going to find out He was the chief of police. You're going to find that out. He's got a record book. Every violation. Every violation. Every head bowed, let's pray. So glad to have you here this morning. God bless you for coming. Glad you have you in the house of the Lord. You don't have to be ignorant of the things of God, the things of the Bible, the things of Christianity, what the real love of God really is. He's not looking over people's faults and failures and mistakes. The love of God is compassion on them who have failed and got out of the way and need help. And I pray today that God would speak to us. And this Christmas morning, God would deal with our hearts. Maybe you're here. Maybe you need to be saved. Maybe you need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. God would have mercy. God will have mercy and not judgment. God's not here to deal out justice. God's here to deal out mercy and grace. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Father, we pray you'll take this message, speak to every heart, in Jesus' name. Amen.